Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, Stockbridge, Georgia, Noonday Bible Study. We're so excited that you are here today. We thank God for you, and especially you. Thank God for those who are tuning in online. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. Another day that he spared our lives, another day that we can rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day the Lord has made. We shall be glad, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make a boast thereof, and the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We thank God for this day that he's made, and we thank God for another time that we can come together and study the word of God. Amen. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. On behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop Drew W. Smith, we welcome you today. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Amen. And we are on fire for God. This is Light of the World, and we are lighting up the world. We're seeing, amen, eradicating darkness one soul at a time. Hallelujah. So we thank God today for this opportunity to share, amen, and experience the word of God and what God have to say for us to us today. Amen. We have service, and you can catch us on YouTube, Facebook Live, Light of the World, Christian Tabernacle International. And we want to welcome you and you to our holy convocation, which is starting July 10th. The world is coming to Stockbridge. So we want you to be a part of that. It was an awesome time that we have every year. Amen. From people around the globe that are part of our ministry. We thank God for a covenant fellowship that we are connected throughout the world. Amen. And so when we say we are the light of the world, it's not just a saying, we are light of the world. Amen. So we thank God for what he's doing with us and through us. And today we have the awesome opportunity to get into Romans, the sixth chapter. Amen. Dig a little further in it so we can get deeper and deeper in the word of God. And we thank God for today that we are so excited. Amen. For what God is going to show us today in his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for another time. Amen. We can share in his word. And so we're going to open the word of prayer right now. We're going to ask Ella Heath to open up with prayer right quick. Amen.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank and love and adore you. We thank you for this day. Hallelujah. For our rising up, Father. We thank you that we arose in victory. And we thank you, Father, for all the favor that you're giving us today. Thank you for your word that lives, abide in our very soul. Father, we know that everything in the world isn't perfect or isn't just like we would like it. But we know that you are a God who never leave us or forsake us.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we just ask you to comfort those who are in mourning.
Yes.
Father, heal those who are sick and going into the hospitals or have been. Father, we just thank you because you are a God that knows everything.
Yes.
Nothing is a surprise to you. Thank you for this place of worship.
Yes,
thank you for our overseers.
Yes,
Father, and most of all, thank you for your word, which is active, living, and full of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We bless him. Hallelujah, because truly God is good. Hallelujah. And his mercy is everlasting.
Look around. Tell me what you see.
Got out of my bed. I looked around. Here's what I
said, thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Arms wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing.
My legs and I can walk. I got the tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive, I got my lungs and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings He's given to me. Bless my family and they do.
Not only who he is, but who he is in our lives. Amen. And we thank God for Romans 6 chapter, talking about being dead to sin. And I thought about something, and I posted on Facebook, are you dead to sin, or are you just dead asleep?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the Bible says sleep, referring to death. Right? But in the natural, you can have be in a deep sleep, and stuff can be going on around you, and you're not aware because you are. We call it in the Bahamas, you're dead sleep. We call it dead sleep, meaning that you can't hear nothing. Everything going around you, you're just like you're not even there. But you ain't dead, but you're just not there. You're not responding to what's around you, but you're still alive. And so is that the state we're in? Because even though you're in a dead sleep, you can wake up. So spiritually, we should be dead, not dead sleep. Right? Because we don't want to ever wake up to sin. We want to be dead, not dead sleep. But sometimes we get dead sleep to some things. And the Bible say, lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to be set up. Because all of us have a sin that easy can be set up, that we got to work on every day. That particular thing, I mean, everything else, you can breathe through. It ain't going to touch you. But there's one thing that in your spirit, man, that you got to work on every day. And so we got to be dead to sin. So how do we become dead to sin? Jesus don't kill us. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to what? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Listen to it now. Now, the cross represents death. So every day you got to deny yourself. Denying yourself meaning death. Right? And so we got to get in a posture where we are no longer alive to ourselves. They're in the challenge. How do you not live and you relive it? How do you not want to take yourself and that's all you got? That's a challenge, right? I mean, how do you not want to take care of you and that's all you got? Who else you got with you? Everywhere you go, who follows you? You're going to be there, right? Whatever you do, you're going to be there. You're going to be doing it. And so how do we live a dead life? How do we crucify this flesh and live? And, you know, I never saw the Beatitudes like I'm seeing it right now. Because, I learned at a point that Jesus was trying to tell us to change the way we see sin and to change how we see the kingdom, you know. But I saw something in this that he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the blessing ain't that he is, because theirs is heaven. That ain't the blessing. The blessing is because you're poor. Now, you're poor because you don't think nothing of yourself. You've been crucified in Christ. Nothing belongs to you. You don't own anything. So when you become to a state of mind that I don't own anything, then heaven belongs to you. Because Jesus said, if you don't lose your life for my sake, you'll never have life. When I saw the Beatitude, I began to say, he said now you got to be poor in spirit. You got to be poor. And then again he said, if you hunger and thirst, now that's a state you don't want to be in. Right? You don't want to be hungry. You don't want to be thirsty. You want to satisfy it as soon as you can. Okay? I mean, as a human being, if we get thirsty, we're going to grab some water, we're going to grab something to drink. We're hungry, we're going to get something to eat. Right? So the thing is, we got to get to a place where We are at a place where it ain't about satisfying us. It's about satisfying God.
You know, the key word that you said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we look at poor not having money, not having house. I'm a homeless and I don't have this and that. That's why the Bible said, rightly divide the word of
truth. Absolutely.
Because he said in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that you brought out that point because I never looked at it like that.
Absolutely. Because the thing is that we can be poor in things and still thanking somebody. You ever see people who ain't got nothing and then they believe they got everything? They would rent a Mercedes to show off that they got something. But if you're poor in spirit, meaning that you're humble because your spirit is you. So if you then deny yourself, that's what Jesus said. If you deny yourself, you're at a place where I am poor in spirit. I have nothing except what God did. And he loaned it to me. It ain't mine. It still ain't mine. And so you got to be to that place where you are dead to stuff, even though you got to live this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mystery by itself.
Because, you know, we came into the world with nothing. And even, you know, we can get all the education in the world. We can have all the money in the world. But that still belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we go to work on a job, he give us up the strength to even do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, when we get those things in order, then we are going to be on the right track.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need for me to walk around with my head up in the air. Mm-hmm. Like I'm better than someone
right.
mm-hmm. because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because and that's how you can understand Job's position.
Yeah.
He lost everything in one day. And he said, bless it. He said, the Lord God giveth, and the Lord God take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, so when I think David robbed him of his, I will bless the Lord at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a place where if you had a pity party, somebody would have joined you and said, you deserve to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my basketball player's mom. She deserved to be sad, but she wasn't sad.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying, how did she have the nerve to be mad with God for taking his son, whom he gave her for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got to be some kind of revelation from God, some kind of unction from God to have you with that attitude that even though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when Paul is saying that when we're crucified with Christ, when we're dead to sin,
mm-hmm.
it's like we're not trying to own anything. We're not trying to say that I did it. I accomplished that. And I got up by my own, what would they say, your own back? You know, it was me that did it, God. And, you know, God ain't even fit you. You're talking about what we do. But if we are dead to sin, that's the attitude and mindset we have to have. That I own nothing.
And you know, I'm not sitting like this, keeping up with the drugs. Okay, I don't have this. So since I don't have this, and someone comes to me and says, oh, you blessed? No, I'm not. You know, I'm poor. I don't have this and I don't have that. Words are very powerful. And we have to be careful. I'm even talking to myself. What we say, because when we speak into the atmosphere, oh, yeah, it's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at it like this. You got a house, but somebody is living under a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You may live in an apartment, but somebody is living under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So you still blessed. Even the person living under the bridge may not have what he or she wants,
mm-hmm.
but they still blessed because they are here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing how, you know, we live, we move now into wooded areas, so we see a lot of roadkill.
Mm-hmm.
But God is providing for those buzzards. He's making provision. Oh, even though the squirrel comes across the road, now the squirrel is provided also because he's going here, going there. I mean, God is just providing for everybody. But then one day he's going to be somebody near. And he's the provision. This life is just, when you really think about it, how things are up, it's amazing. But God want us, Paul is trying to stress to them, you got to be dead to sin. That sin is not something that should flinch you or to lure you and say, come and do this. You got to be dead to it. And so that's where the work comes. Because sin is in this flesh. And so in order to not succumb to that, we have to do like Jesus said, we have to die. You got to be dead. So, Elohim, what verse are you on that? Don't you keep it in your Bible?
Start with what's the name?
You got it. Put you on the spot, Ellie. Okay, so we're going to have Mr. Ollie James 5 and 6.
5 and 6. It says, we have become united with Christ, and we have died like he died. Because of that, we will also be united with him in his new life. Just like Christ rose, we also will rise to a new life. We know that God has caused our own nature to die with Christ on the cross. This happened so that God could make us free from the power of sin in our life. We are no longer like slaves who have sin as their master. Right here, Paul is reassuring us that when Christ died on the cross, especially, for example, when I went up in front of the church and I gave my life to Christ, or whichever way I gave my life to Christ, I began to die to sin because I became a new creature, a creation in him. The old life was behind me. So therefore, Paul is reminding us that, keep looking at the cross. When you sin, make sure you go and repent. You know, make sure you remember that new life when Christ died on the cross, that was crucified. He said, you're no longer into slaves. And he said, I'm reminding you that when Christ come back again, that you have a permanent new life that you don't even have to be concerned about.
All right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you are slave to something, that means it has power over you. You do what it tells you to do. You go where it tells you to go. It has power over you. Jesus' death on the cross broke that power. Now we have a choice.
Yeah.
Here lies the problem. We can choose now, because it now no longer have power over us that we have to do what it says. We can refuse not to do it, right? Because now we have the power. Since we've been born again, we have the power. But if you're still locked up in sin, you got to do what sin tells you to do. And so we got people who, and they call it addiction, that they can't help themselves. And so as a Christian, we used to say in Florida, we can't help ourselves to do what God says. Got the can't help it, they say. But when sin comes, it locks you up. It puts you in prison and binds you up where you have to do what it says. I see, and we watch. I like to watch First 48 and shows like that. How when these guys do stuff, getting it in their eyes. We've seen it in kids over the center. They get to a state where their eyes, they are a totally different person. And at that point, they are out of control. They have no more control of what they're going to do. They will kill you or whatever. And these people wind up doing murders. I mean, the boy who did this thing in Texas, they said he was like, his eyes were like steel, no life in it at all. And so he was captivated. He was controlled by what the spirit, this evil spirit was telling him to do. He was bound by it. He couldn't break loose of it because it had controlled him. And so when we are born again, when those thoughts come in our mind, when those things, I ought to slap, you know, the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Don't say you never feel like it. Yeah, no, we all feel like it. Sometimes you don't know. But because of God's grace in you, you don't fulfill or yield to that sin, right? And so we got to be at a place where we do not allow ourselves, even when that thought comes to your head, you got to know, because of what's in you now, it's going to tell you, you know that's not right. Sometimes we push beyond that, but you know it's not right.
You know, another thing that I think that we don't realize, now I was talking to someone about that this week. When we are really in sin, you got other people around you who really is praying and sin before God. They can see the sin just by looking at your face, because your personality, your facial expression changes. You can't see that, but other people who been connected with God, they can see that.
Right.
And I think that's what people don't realize. They think that they can camouflage it, but no, you can't. Because all people got to do, you don't even have to open your mouth. They can just talk or see you, and then they know, hey, something ain't right. I need to be praying for my brother or my sister.
They don't even know you. This young man came to my house to help pull a desk upstairs for me. He said, thank you very much. You're passing. I said, but I'm trying to figure out, I ain't got no posters. Pastor Butterfield in the house. And so how did he notice? He said, I can tell. And so people can definitely see what's in you. And especially if you've been born again, and they've been born again, they can recognize, so what they say, game, no game? Whatever that says. But we know each other. I saw in Florida, we were casting out some food. Yeah? And this person came in there looking one way. When that spirit had left that person was unrecognizable. They didn't look nothing like the person who walked in that door. I mean, physically, it amazed me. I mean, I know there was a change because we saw the spirit left.
Yeah.
And I knew it was a change, but when we saw the physical face of that person, I was like, oh, my God, totally different. And the attitude is different. I mean, there's a change, you know. So we all have to know that when you've been born again, there's a change. You're not the same. You cannot try to be the same because now God lives in you, and that old man is really gone, and they see the new man, right? And so I'm taking my glasses off. Little writing on this Bible. So that was 5 and 6, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. dead needs to be buried. I disagree with that. Anything dead needs to be resurrected because I'm sure it got some type of life going on. But, you know, you often hear people say that. Because that's why the Bible said let the wheat and the tare grow together. Because if you let me loose to pick in between the two, I've been going to pull up the wrong. So that's why I say anything dead, no, I say it needs to be resurrected. I'm sure it got some life somewhere.
So when we think about our freedom has been paid for, and a lot of times we still want to do that. Because we got so comfortable with where we were that we want to stay comfortable. But I'm thanking God that when you have the power of the Holy Ghost in you, it's no longer going to be comfortable. The atmosphere of sin cannot be comfortable if you've been born again. And so I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost makes a difference.
Hallelujah.
It makes a difference because your spirit's going to be unsettled in an environment that's not conducive to what the Holy Ghost is looking for. And so if we have been crucified and we've been emancipated, we're no longer slaves. We have the freedom to go out and live unto God, not to ourselves, but unto God. And it says that now if we die with Christ, we believe that we also live. Remember the right one? No. Since a person has been dead, has died, is free from sin, sin's claim. If you're dead, then sin has no claim over you. So, any other comments? Let's go to 7 and 8. You got a comment?
7 and 8. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And a commentary says, but he who had died has been free from sin. Here's a man, for example, who is sentenced to die in the electric chair for murdering a police officer. As soon as he dies, he is free, justified from the sin. The penalty has been paid, and the case is closed. Now we have died with Christ on this cross of Calvary. Not only has our penalty been paid, but sin's stronghold on our lives has been broken. We're no longer the helpless captives of sin. Our death with Christ is one side of the truth. The other side is that we shall also live with him. We died to sin, we live to righteousness. Sin's dominion over us has been shattered. We shall share Christ's resurrection, life here and now, and we shall share it for all the eternity. Praise his name.
Amen. Yeah.
So when sin creeps up in our faith, get away. You don't have no more power over me. Get scram. You know, act like the roaches when you turn the light on.
And you know, you have to remind Satan of that continuously. Things that have been dead, long gone. And then still try to bring it back to something, or your eye gate, your ear gate, you know, your dream, you know, things and stuff. And you got to right away cut that off and say, no,
that's been dead and gone in my life. And, you know, the lying devil tried to bring it back. I cut off the head of the lying serpent, but, you know. So you have to tell him, not that other temptation, but he'll try, you know, and you just got to play an Urkel on them and wear them down, because if they keep coming back with that same thing, you know, think they could do it. And so after a while, they just going to say, that don't work anymore. We got to find something else. And that's when we get to that scripture that no weapon formed against me, shaped on me, coming from my own thoughts and lifestyle, emanating out to Satan and the devil. That's what he'll use and come back and gather that and form. That means on, put on you. And that's why those things are so much harder to fight. But along with that temptation of sin comes a way of escape, because we are in Christ and we died with him. So I don't know the people that don't have that way of escape. I it just saddens me. And you know, cause you all the more want to be a witness and have your life be a witness. And you speak up and say something, because those that don't have that way, because we still going to be tempted, like you say, but you don't have to yield to it. You don't have to yield to it. And so I've been set free from that. I've been set free from that. I've been set free from temptation of stuff that I never even did, and you try to bring to me in my older life. Hey, I didn't do that when I was younger. Why are you bringing it to me now? I ain't trying to go there. I mean, really, you know, you'll try any and everything. To try and weaken you.
The devil got more sense than a lot of us. Because if something ain't working, I ain't going to still try to do it. That's real. Something ain't working, we still go over and over trying to do. No. He was trying to find his way to find whatever he can. His job is to pull you out.
Yeah.
Destroy your faith in God.
Yeah.
He ain't care about your car. He ain't care about your wife. He ain't care about nothing.
Your children.
But your faith. He can get to your faith. He got you. That's all he come to do, is try to tear down your faith. Destroy your faith. When things ain't going right, you're going to say, see, I told you God ain't going to make a way. I tell you God ain't going to do it. I tell you. That's all he wants to do. Tear your faith down. And then when your circumstances start looking like what he is saying, you believe that lie. You're in trouble. Then he got you, right? But God got a way with the Holy Ghost all that you know. I did it before. I'll do it again. You ain't just killed a bear and a lion. That's so you can kill Goliath.
Come on.
You kill a little thing so you can kill something big. Let you know that God will bring you out, no matter what. And so we are crucified with Christ. We dead. Got to be dead. And we have the power and authority to say no.
Yes.
It used to be a thing back in a while ago, just say no.
Yeah.
Just say no. Right? And so we have the power to say no. But those people who was on drugs, because that's what it was about, sometimes didn't have the power to say no. Because they were still enslaved. It had to do what the drugs say do. It had to go where the lust took them. They wanted to say no. Even though they said no with their mouth, their actions and their doing was different. But thank God that with the Holy Ghost power in us, when we say no, we can mean no.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to say no. And we pull into stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can say no and mean no. We ain't gonna fall for that.
The devil knows. You know it's coming from the Holy Ghost. You know, it's coming from God. It'll be a God no, and you cause him to back up.
And you know, even if he points you in something, and you're like, and that thing come again, you say, you caught me last time. You go, don't get me this time. Now you still got the power. We just need to make sure that we keep crucifying.
Jesus.
You got to become dead.
He said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then, you know, I think it's very important because some of us are more mature spiritual minds, not saying that we are better than nobody, but that's why it's very important that we encourage one another and not tear them down. Because, you know, if you see me in the sin, oh, Sister Webber should know better. Yeah, you're right, I should know better. But don't come to me with no attitude, because I would prefer if you come to me and try to talk to me and lead me back on the right path, because I'm not going to receive you like that.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got instruction, so we don't want to do things really new. Mm-hmm. We got instruction on how to do stuff. Somebody, you find somebody in the fault, go to them.
Yeah.
You say those that are, you more mature, mm-hmm. you should know how to go to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how somebody came to you before out of, mm-hmm. in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're mature now. You know, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to do that to nobody that's been done to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how now to consider. Because that's what Paul says, consider your own self. Because if you fall in a place where you don't want to be, you want somebody to come with love and say, hey, listen, let me help you pour you out this ditch. Not pour some dirt on you. Right? They want you to help pull somebody out of that ditch.
And if you don't do it in that manner and you offend, then Jesus said, look, it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's some deep stuff, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's some deep stuff.
That new day, you know, you offended and didn't go from this to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And those of you online who want to participate, please press 1 so we can bring you live. We got several of you out there, and if you want to participate, just press 1. We'll bring you live because we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you got to say about, are you dead or are you dead sleep? All right? Press 1 and we'll bring you live. Amen. So let's go to verse 9 and 10 now, right? 9 and 10, Elder Hayes. I'm
Elder Hayes.
Elder Hayes.
Elder Hayes.
Yeah, that's every now and then people will. New American Standard, you said 9.
9 and 10.
Okay, it was kind of like halfway leaving off 9 does from his other sentence. So we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again.
Mm.
Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Once and for all. I think when I thought about that too, dying, first you have to be in Christ,
mm-hmm.
in order to die with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when he's talking about living, these things are dead. But, man, even though he came in the way of he was made to become flesh, and he died, but that died once and for all. The flesh, you know, he died on the cross, and I was just like, man. And then, so it's an eternal life,
mm-hmm.
but and to experience the things of death, I don't know, I'd just rather do that and live eternally with God, like this word say, rather than live eternally in sin,
mm-hmm.
where it's just over and over
mm-hmm.
and over
mm-hmm.
and over again for eternity. You know, mm-hmm. and I mean, just that, you know, I got people that you pray for, and it's years and years, and family members, and they just keep saying, yeah, I know one of these days. Yeah, I know
mm-hmm.
one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, you know, God knows their time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do all we could do so the blood won't be
that's
on
all.
Our hands.
That's all you can do.
You know, we feel bad about that, but that is no comparison for what Christ went through. I mean, he had a type of heaviness upon him that none of us would want to endure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to sin, I can only speak for myself. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect because I'm not. I mess up daily. That's why I have to repent. I may look at somebody wrong or something or whatever. But anyway, that's why it's very important when it comes to me. I have to refocus back on the cross. Because when I look back at what Christ went through, it would make me want to get my life in order and to get me in faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
You love God.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to love him.
Because if you love him, you don't want it bothers you if anybody who you love has to suffer anything. It has to bother you. It has to disturb you. And so that's what makes us want to do what's right. And this two verses that you read to me is coinciding with Galatians 3, where it says, "Set your mind on what is above, and not on what on earth. For ye have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
listen to it now.
With Christ in God.
you're with Christ. Because you now join in with his death, right? That's why we go down in baptism. It's your outside show that we're with you. We're gonna die. We're gonna die. So we are joining God, Jesus, in death now. But when we do that, we are in God. So now we in God, we don't have to think about sin because now we're where we need to be. Everything we desire is in God. So what can Satan tempt us with if that's what we desire? If we desire God and him, it's complete, right?
Yep.
So there's nothing to pull us other than we allow our flesh to raise from the dead. Don't resuscitate that boy. don't put that defibrillator on him. Keep that joker dead, right? Keep him dead. because if not, when he raises his head, he's gonna come up strong. That's You don't want to do that, so you want to keep them dead. And so if we are risen with Christ, meaning that now we are with Christ, we are in his death with him. So that means we feel what he would have felt spiritually. And so we don't want him to have to feel that way. And so that'll help us not to succumb to temptation.
I think it's 6 and 4.
Okay, 6 and 4 is impossible
for me. There it is. That's when we, because of him being resurrected from the dead to eternal judgment. And this this we do, God permits for it. In the case of those who have once been enlightened, excuse me, have been, you know, come to Christ, you know, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, heavenly gift is Holy Ghost, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers
of the age to come. Mm-hmm. And then you have turned away or fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's heavy stuff. And so that's why I say, you know, you've done all that, and you,
and so
you
that,
think that, you know, uh-uh.
That's the person who don't repent.
Yeah, that's but it says it is impossible to renew them to repentance, since they again have crucified the Son of God all over again and put him to an open shame. Made that.
Oh my God.
So now is that saying that they was born again, they have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they was able to turn.
It says, yeah, the parables are falling away. I'm just reading what the word says, and they tasted of the heavenly gift.
That again. Start that.
For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For years, this thing has, when I found this about 10 years ago, I was just like,
who got the message by it? Anybody got a message?
You're going to break it down to me. King James says about things.
This one says, for it is impossible to renew, to repent those who have once enlightened, to take the heavenly gift, become companion with the Holy Spirit, taste God's good word in the power of the coming age, and who has fallen away because of their own harm, they are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him up to contempt for the ground that has drunk the rain that has fallen, has often fallen on it.
Yeah,
that's something, yeah. Hebrews 6:4.
6:4.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back and study that.
I studied that.
You can't play around
6:4
and think you're going to do in and out that you're going to straddle the fence. Because you never know when you're on that other side and you're in this condition of straddling. Now, the Old Testament does say that God is married to the backslider. But that's not this. That's, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It says, you said he can
be
6:4, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is important because we must not turn away from Christ after we have first believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have come to God light. They have understood God's message. They have started to enjoy the true life that God has given them. They have received the Holy Spirit like other believers.
Mm-hmm.
They have understood that God's message is good for them. They have seen powerful things that belong to the future times. But after all, they have turned against God. Then it is impossible for anyone to help them to turn away from their sin again. It is like they are killing the Son of God on the cross again for themselves. They show other people that they do not think Christ is important.
Right
there. Wow. No.
Always wonderful.
No.
Yeah,
that's got to be because I was thinking once saved, you say, you can repent, and if you save, God is going to bring it back around.
That's the only thing.
Being of the Armenian Presbyterian faith, which we are, light of the world, we are of that Armenian belief of the one saved, always saved. And so we are not of the school of thought for the Calvinistic that means that you can lose, you know, your
right.
salvation. So
right.
these two schools of faith, we come under that. But this is saying here, because you notice in there that this person, all this stuff, Holy Ghost, everything, but this person turned and it was like crucifying Christ all over again, and it was impossible to renew him unto repentance. That goes to back to the part when we were speaking about, try to deal with a brother or sister in the church, and if they still don't understand, if it, you know, counsel and two or three things, and you sit them aside until they can, you know, you can talk to them and receive them back, or they themselves repent and feel sorry. This is about the one who has done all this, has the Holy Ghost, has the Word of God, everything, and still was drawn into the sin away from God and has not repented the sin. And that comes from when you, like on both sides, and I said you got to be careful, because if you out there on that side and you have not yourself, people can try to do it for you. But they say people, it's just to even say those who all of you can't do that. It's impossible.
Wow.
And so the thing is that the condition of that person is at a place where now they have superseded themselves above God. Remember we talked about being dead to sin?
Mm-hmm.
So they in themselves now, because they experienced God,
mm-hmm.
they now, because Satan experienced God. Now they experience now the presence of God and the essence of God.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got to a point where they felt above God. You can get to a place where the anointing on you is so strong, if you don't be careful, you can get itself in a second. And so the Holy Ghost has to remind, but the Holy Ghost don't hog tie nobody. And that's why I'm saying being dead while you're alive is a battle. And Paul says so. And so I believe I'm going to study this even deeper, but I believe that people, sometimes when if you don't be careful, you can get into a stronger to understand spirit. That's the key. Spirits can get you where you elevated yourself, and all of a sudden you get into self, and you don't recognize it self because it is a spirit. You think it's a Holy Spirit, but it's a spirit. And Satan wants to defraud God. And so he would get you elevated so much in your spirit head that you think that you can't do no wrong. And then you'll begin to justify stuff. See, that's the other thing that happens to us. We justify stuff. And no one in the world would have done anything unless they justify it. Even a murderer, he would justify why he did what he did. Before he did it, he don't justify. I got a reason. I got a reason why I'm doing it. I ain't just doing something just to be doing it. And so we got to be careful when we are in the spirit. That's a dangerous place to be if you're not careful, because Satan comes in. When did he go to mention Job? When the sons of God came together, who was there? Satan was in the midst, right? Now, you would think that's a holy place, anointed place. And who shows up? Satan was right there, right? So when you get elevated and in the spirit and in the spirit realm, don't think he's there, right? And so we got to be careful to ourselves to make sure we die daily so we don't succumb to all the tricks he has. And so next week,
we need to just everybody take some time and let's go over the scripture and let's dig into this next week.
Is that dealing with our reprobate mind?
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah. Because that's what came to my mind when I was talking about that.
Look into that because that's what she was just trying to look up, reprobate.
Okay. Because there will come a time when God trying to get our attention and we don't listen. He will turn his back.
Yeah.
You know, that's in the Word. And the scripture that just been read, this person was really in the Lord, was really serving the Lord, was doing the right thing. But I agree with what you said. Sometimes we can get the big head and we can elevate ourselves above God. That's why Satan got kicked down because of that reason. So you said we need to look at this one.
It's like what?
It helps you want to be focused on God and not only on yourself, because it's a straight and narrow road. Hebrews 6, I would do all the way down to 7. 1 to 7.
And it looked like you can deal with the reprobate somewhere in Romans, the first chapter. I couldn't find a real chapter, but you ain't found it yet.
So those of you online, please look at Hebrews 6, 1 through 7, and we'll get
next week.
We're going to hear from y'all next week. We'll get into this because this is really, really, really important for us to understand. When we study in the Word, we want to know what the whole Word says so we can live our lives and God can be satisfied with what our life that we live. Amen? Because we want to die. We don't want to live to this sin anymore. We want to make sure that we are dead to sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So give God a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So now we'll get into our offering.
We thank God. We thank God for this word on today. Thank God for the study that we are going to do. And that is going to be something awesome because that really done got me going right there. So I really got to go back and take a look at that because I can flash up and other folks can flash up in front of my face listening at this right here, this word that we just read. So we have to do better. We have to do better. And when we study this, I believe God is going to bring us to a place of understanding. We just can't be just walking and seeing. It did have 20. All right. So listen, those of you that are online, we want you to give your offering today, and you also can pay your tithes, and you can go into the Light of War app and do that. And those of you that are here, I can get the square for you, and also you can check cash. You can pay your tithes or give an offering at this time. And we're praying that God will give it back to you. Press down, shaking together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. Amen. Amen. So you can go on and give and then text me the amount that you gave to my number, 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. Thank you.
Amen.
Ten.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for getting in this word. Let's get deep into this thing, because we need to get clarity and good understanding on the word, because that's why we want to know God in his deepness and everything we can, and not to puff ourselves up so we can live holy, so we can live right. So when he comes a call, we'll be ready. And then after that, we'll hear him say what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been ruled over a few things. No, I want to be turned away.
Absolutely.
You can't be fooled around. You play church if you want. You play church if you want to.
Play church
if you want to. Amen. All hearts and minds are clear. I tell you, this is some good stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you for giving us clarity and understanding of your word. God, help us as we study this, go deeper in you. Oh, God, don't let no confusion come. Oh, God, don't let no things that are not true, but let your truth be known. Let the spirit of your word come alive in us, that we would understand your word, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we got something to study, God. No, that ain't okay.
I mean, that's just too